Welcome back to the Grapevine. McGoran Thomas, and the harvest is wrapping up in the Finger Lakes. It is the end of the major part of the harvest at this point, and maybe in a week or two of some more grapes coming in, but small amounts, specific vineyards, grapes that the wineries or vineyard managers are holding out there a little bit longer. But there are some other grapes that will be out there for a couple of months, and those are the ice wine grapes. We are one of the few regions, wine regions in the world that makes ice wine the traditional way, as does Canada and the Niagara Peninsula makes a lot of ice wine the traditional way. We make, well, compared to them, a very small amount, but a number of wineries, including Casa Larga, Hunt Country Vineyards, they've been making ice wines the traditional way for decades, a long time, and they are delicious wines. If you want to send someone some wine, maybe leading up to Thanksgiving, because you can't be with them for Thanksgiving or for the holidays, sending ice wine, it might be kind of fun, because a lot of people don't know anything about it. They haven't tasted any or very many or maybe even heard of it. And a place like Casa Larga makes four or five different ice wines. And they're not outrageously expensive. There's some very expensive ice wines in the Niagara Peninsula of Canada. Not all of them, but there are some very expensive ones. And that might, some of those might be prohibitive to send, as a gift, but the ones made in New York State are really a great price, great value, and these are wines that are generally in half bottle sizes, which makes them less expensive to ship. Casa Larga does a gift basket that includes a couple ice wine glasses, because you don't, well, you could drink ice wine from a regular wine glass, but you would pour such a tiny amount, it would look a little silly in a big wine glass, because it's very sweet, it's very rich, and you don't drink very much of it at one time. So the Casa Larga's ice wine grapes are sometimes harvested occasionally around Thanksgiving when it freezes early, as it did last year, or more likely some point in December, late December, sometimes in January, occasionally in February. They have to wait until it freezes, those grapes freeze solid, and that means, according to the general rules for ice wine, it's got to be 18 degrees or colder for 6 hours or more. So, often the coldest part of the day, or the 24-hour day, is morning, just before the sun rises, is often the coldest part of the day. And if it's 18 degrees at that point, you can't pick. You've got to have 6 hours of that cold, which surprisingly we did have last year, like mid-November, but that's highly unusual. More likely they'd be harvesting at some point in December. And if that's Christmas, they harvest on Christmas, because you don't know when it's going to get that cold again, or if it will. And if you wait, you are just losing volume of the grapes. So you may see some grapes netted. Some wineries are netting the regular grapes, and then they pull the nets. They sort of wrap them tight at the bottom and undo them to harvest the grapes. But usually, at least here in our area, the netted grapes are ice wine grapes, because the birds and the deer and the squirrels and the chipmunks and the turkeys, the possums, the raccoons, they would all really love to have those grapes. You wouldn't have anything left. So they have to net them if they want to leave them out there for a couple of months. And such sweet grapes, the animals still try to get into them through the netting. But if you're driving around here and around the Niagara Peninsula of Canada, of course, we can't get into Canada because the border is shut down. And given how quickly the coronavirus is rising in the United States, I can't blame the Canadians for keeping that border closed. But there are a lot of netted vines in the Niagara Peninsula. Some in the Finger Lakes, Standing Stone, one, and Heron Hill, Glenora. There's a number of wineries that make a non-traditional ice wine. Heron Hill makes a traditional one, but Glenora and a number of other ones do a frozen wine. They harvest the grapes earlier. They're not harvesting them now. They'll wait until some point in November and harvest them and put them in the freezer and then press them. And that is a non-traditional ice wine. They can't call it ice wine. You might see just ice on it or iced wine or some variation thereof. And they're still very tasty. They're often usually less expensive than a traditional ice wine. And you know, the traditional ice wine is risky to make. You don't know when it's going to freeze. Or if, you know, with global warming, there may be some winters where we don't get 18 degrees or colder for 6 hours or more. Generally, that's not a problem, but I don't know, it was probably 5 or 6 years ago, I remember going to a big Canadian wine event, Cuvée, in March, early March, and they hadn't picked yet. They still had nets over the vines. It hadn't gotten cold enough, even up until the first week of March, which is crazy. Luckily, that's really, really unusual. And I think a lot of the wineries at that point just harvested them and called them late harvest. And late harvest wines are really delicious. They're generally a little less viscous. They are maybe not quite as sweet, but still pretty sweet. And usually less expensive because those are harvested late, you know, probably November, but you don't have the risk that you have with the ice wine grapes. And you have more volume in November than you do in December or January after those grapes have frozen and unfrozen lots of times. You lose volume. But that's what develops the flavor, too, is that freezing and unfreezing process, the concentration of the sugars and the sort of the nectar in those grapes. So it's, again, if you're looking for it's just something fun and different, you know, something that people haven't experienced, maybe send some ice wine for Thanksgiving or for the holidays, or get some for yourself. Again, Casalarga has quite a few different ones, maybe with different grapes. Often Vidal is used, but Riesling, Cabernet Franc, and a couple other. They do a field blend. There was one part of their vineyard which Mr. C planted a long time ago. There was a mixture of grapes, kind of a wide mixture of grapes, I think. And so they decided to use that for ice wine. And then a couple years later, found his notebook, I think it was under the seat of the tractor. This is, you know, a decade after he'd passed away. And in that notebook are exactly what those grapes are. So now they know which ones are in that. And again, that's a block that they often use to make ice wine. So fun to taste it. And again, they will not be picking those grapes for at least a month, most likely 2 months, more in that range. Saw a note from Christopher Bates that he is going to be doing a virtual tasting, a virtual blind tasting. And he, of course, is a master sommelier. He and Isabel, his wife, own FLX Table, FLX Wienery. They've come into Rochester with their FLX Wienery at Rock Brewing, which opened fairly recently. And he does a lot of master sommelier education courses, travels around the country and around the world doing those. And this is, again, a virtual blind tasting. The boxes will be sent to you, and you'll have a chance to enjoy some delicious wines. Tasting them virtually with him. So it could be wine. There probably will be wines from around the world. So it'll be via Zoom. And again, you are shipped the wines in advance. You get to enjoy some questions and answers with him. It's November 12th, so there's time for him to send the wines to you. And he says what to expect. Blind boxes delivered to your door. Zoom login instructions. Live guided tasting of four classic wines from around the world. Q&A, and then finally a damn good time. So, and he is not your average master sommelier. He's the only master sommelier who passed those exams as a working chef and a fine dining executive chef when he passed those exams. So this is sort of a window into the world of sommeliers, to taste these four wines with him, to evaluate them, and try to figure out what they are. He posted recently, I think it was both on Instagram and on Facebook, a little more about his taking the exam for one thing, but also just what his philosophy of tasting is, and it really talking a little bit about how he realized that the normal testing. The normal methods for tasting didn't really work for him, and he had to come up with some of his own, and sort of follow his own path for passing the Master Sommelier exam. And he outlined how long it took him. He took the exam, I think maybe four times in total, which is not uncommon. It's probably more common to take it six times. People take it multiple times. You have to pass all three parts within 3 years, and you can only take it once a year. So you can pass one part each year and complete all three within those 3 years. You don't have to pass all three at once. The three parts are service and sort of wine knowledge, and then a blind tasting. And it's the blind tasting is the really brutal part of that. That's the part that he didn't pass that within the 3 years, and had to start over. You have to then pass all three parts of the exam. But he also, he's very, philosophical and some of the things that he writes, and he's been doing, I think, maybe more of those lately, and talking about the fact it's a process, and you don't just become a master sommelier. You put in the work, you put in the time. It's probably pretty expensive to taste all those wines to prepare for the blind tastings that they do, but it's a journey, I guess, and he's continuing to learn, continuing to teach, and I think it'll be fun to again get this window into the world of a master sommelier with this virtual blind tasting. That's November 12th, and you'll be doing this via Zoom. So if you want details, you can look them up on Instagram, on Facebook, online, Sommelier Bates. You'll find him on there on Instagram. And it's 5:30 to 7 p.m. November 12th. And that is a Thursday night. And he's probably trying to get this in before he opens his restaurants. He's opening several restaurants in a market in Corning. And that's going to be coming soon. Pretty cool to see what they're doing in Corning. A very prominent spot there on Market Street in Corning. And beautiful old buildings that they're going to be doing this in. So again, just a pretty amazing person. And both of them, Isabel as well, just fascinating people to watch them grow over the last few years as they grow their grown their businesses quite a bit, and that's so FLX Hospitality is kind of their overarching name. If you have comments, questions, you can always email me, Michael@saverlife.com. Again, Michael@saverlife.com. Spent a few days, quite a few days over the last several weeks, touring the Finger Lakes, scouting for this spotted lantern fly, which has not shown up really other than a dead insect last year that someone found. I have not been able to find it in the Finger Lakes, which is great news. But someone posted, you know, it's just another thing to worry about, and you know, sort of 2020 is the year of worry. All kinds of things that that seem to have gone wrong beyond the coronavirus. But it's really not to worry so much about this spotted lantern fly. It's all about awareness right now. We need people to know what this insect is, to be on the lookout for it, to know that it likes the tree of heaven or Allianthus tree, which is it's not a common tree in the forest, but it's a common tree in some cities and sort of disturbed areas of development along railroad tracks, you know, kind of odd areas that you wouldn't normally scout looking for some insect, but that's where they're likely to show up at some point from Pennsylvania, where they are well established in quite a few counties in Pennsylvania. So not so much worried about it. If they arrive here and get established, we should be very worried. But at this point, just be aware of what it is. Look it up, read about it, watch a video about it, perhaps. And then when you're out walking around, someone posted that they found one in a parking lot. And I was worried that was somewhere in the Finger Lakes. It turns out it was, you know, because on Facebook, you can't tell where people live generally. So it turned out to be a parking lot in Delaware, but it was a friend of someone who lived here in Rochester. So I was a little worried for a moment there that that one had been found here in the Finger Lakes. But so far as I know, I don't know of any that have been reported to the DEC, although I should call them and ask them that. And I haven't found any in a pretty extensive monitoring and scouting. But in over the next couple of years, we really need some people in specific towns, villages, areas of the Finger Lakes to do this scouting. And maybe it's, you know, the cottages and businesses near yours or your home or business or a friend of a friend who lives in the Finger Lakes. We really need people to scout on a frequent basis, looking for the younger instars in the spring that don't fly, but are pretty distinctive looking. And it's that kind of scouting, that kind of frequency that's going to make the difference. I can't, it's a big region. I can't scout our region once a week. I've been sort of targeting specific villages and cities each week, and we've done quite a few over the last month, but it's too big a region for one person to monitor, and we need to do it more frequently in the spring and summer next year. So if you are interested, or you know someone that might be interested, it's a matter of finding someone, let's say in Penyan, who wants to be on the lookout for them along the outlet trail and around the boat launch. These are areas that probably should be visited once a week. And again, the quick monitoring, you're looking for insects on the trunk of these trees. And again, they're pretty specific. The only things I've seen on the trunks of the Tree of Heaven lately are ants, no other insects. But again, it's knowing where to look, and I can help with that. We just need to find people who want to do this kind of scouting and be kind of part of the front line of defense to keep the Finger Lakes free of this pest. It's likely to arrive by train, by car, by boat trailer, by truck. And so in some ways we have to look where those vehicles would end up when they come here. And a whole lot of reasons but there are a lot of people from Pennsylvania that come here to vacation. Maybe for, in a normal year, they might come here for soccer tournaments or some sports related events like that. They might come here to visit family and friends. I've got a couple people that are relatives of neighbors that show up with Pennsylvania license plates just on my street here in the city of Rochester. That's how that insect is probably going to arrive and then go in search of these trees. But they do seem to prefer this tree. They also love grapevines and hops and orchards and lots of other trees. So this is just the most likely place to find them. So if you know someone, maybe contact them, tell them to send me a note, or maybe you're interested in taking some relatively small piece of the Finger Lakes where you go frequently. But that includes Rochester, some part of Rochester, some part of Syracuse, Ithaca, the cities that are on the edge of the Finger Lakes. If we're proactive about this, we have a decent chance of keeping this at bay. The worst case scenario is that it comes here, we don't realize it, gets established in an area, and there's just no way to eliminate it, and we run into the situation that Pennsylvania has, where they are inundated with these insects over like 26 counties, something like that. So again, we're kind of setting up this advanced team of scouts, and I think it'd be kind of fun to be part of it. Again, you are helping to preserve the future of the region, and we're trying to hold this insect off until Cornell comes up with treatments for it that are effective. So far, there really aren't any treatments, but they have some good leads, and so I think there's a lot of hope in those terms. We just got to hold this insect off for 3-5 years or so, and then maybe we'll be in good shape. We'll have to be as concerned when it does arrive, because it will. It's not a matter of if it does. It certainly is going to arrive here, and we need to be ready. So email me if you want more information, michael@saverlife.com. The juice plants are wrapping up their pressing also, and you should call first before you go down to Fulkerson's or Randall Standish to see what they might have and what their schedule is for the end of the season. The projections that they put out in the a little over a month ago may or may not be accurate in terms of when they were able to press and quantities they thought they would have. So don't necessarily go based on what their website says, although Fulkerson seems to have updated theirs fairly frequently. Still, it may reflect yesterday and not what's available today. So keep that in mind. And the colors in the Finger Lakes and around New York State right now are amazing. It's peak color. Beautiful time to go exploring. I think the Brown Hound, not only do they have brunch going on at the art gallery today and live music, but they also have their pop-up at the Old School Naples in Naples going on today with, I think I saw some grape and it's a grape and pear, a couple different kinds of a Linzer tort, variations on a raspberry Linzer tort, and some other baked goods at their pop-up tent where they're renovating the old schoolhouse to turn it into a restaurant. So stop there if you go traveling through the Finger Lakes, maybe Bristol Mountain, I think, still has their aerial adventures going on. And they do that year-round, but also do the sky lift and do that for the fall. So lots of cool things to see and do around our area. Enjoy this beautiful time of the year. We'll be back on Saturday with Gardening Restaurants, Discover the Finger Lakes. Michael Warren Thomas here at SavorLife.com. Have a great day.